my job as an investor is to say, where am I going to land on that spectrum? And most people don't even realize there is a spectrum, right? And they like when I talk about revenue range and then I ask somebody where they're at, you know, are they operating in the top of the market, the middle of the market, the bottom of the market? They don't know. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. I'm here with my main man, Dave Savolich, for another segment of Whiskey Wednesdays. Whiskey Wednesday segments are short, sweet, to-the-point episodes where we come in, talk a little bit about what's going on in our world. We talk about some trending topics, and we answer some questions that you guys send in. So always, as a reminder at the top of all of these episodes, if you have questions, email us in at support or DM us on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, even in the comments. We'll make sure that we get those, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. And Dave, you've always got all of our questions answered. Before we start, I've got a little Bareface whiskey from Canada. Yeah. Our main man Paul Varina sent this down to me, and so we've got our unofficial sponsor for this week's episode is old Bareface whiskey from Canada.
And
so
my buddy Paul Varina, nice job, thanks,
Paul. International division.
He even sent a little recipe down too for you.
Yeah, he gave me his favorite maple old fashioned. So we're going to try that.
Yeah. Hey, and if you guys are noticing, we got a little new background today. Yeah. So we're excited to show off our new studio here. We just moved off. Offices here at Bodicey, and it's still a kind of a work in progress. We're getting some things together, but pretty excited about this new background and to shoot here in this new studio.
We're excited. So if it's a little echoey, we're like dialing in the whole studio. But hey, listen, we can't take some time off. We're gonna put it together. Yeah. We're ready to go. Yeah. So what are we talking about
all
today?
All right, let's get going. So I guess first and foremost, you just got back. Had a quick trip to LaGrange, Kentucky.
LaGrange, Kentucky.
Tell us about LaGrange and tell us about what you were doing there and who you were visiting with.
Yeah, that was awesome. So I was there with one of our partners and members. And works for us on our strategies team. And so and it was Paul Farina. They were looking and had a property under contract and looking for a partner on it. And so I went in and so we're under contract with them and we were meeting with contractors looking at it. It was a really fun project and it's going to be, I think, a really fun project. It's an old firehouse. It was the original city hall built in 1916. It's got this really cool like plaque on it. And it says 1916 City Hall. And then the lower half of it was the original fire station. And so it's a historic building. We're going to revitalize it. We're going to, do a whole remodel on it, turn it into a short-term rental right on Main Street. It's in LaGrange, Kentucky, right on the Bourbon Trail. So you're about 25 minutes outside of Louisville and a really fun project. And so, we were on the road looking at some of that.
That's awesome. What a cool experience, right? One, to a pretty cool location. Yeah. I guess you obviously dive into the numbers to make sure they work and everything, just like we would teach any of our members. You do the same process. Yeah. Second of all, it's kind of a cool, unique property in that you can create this amazing experience, right?
I mean, very, very unique property. I'm really excited about. It's these types of properties that allow us to go hit like the high water mark in areas, right? When we look at some of these types of projects that we take on, it's a very unique project. It has its own challenges, but really once you dial these in, the property itself is such an experience. I mean, it's going to be a really historic experience. We're going to tell a lot of history with the town, with the old fire station, with the city hall, and there's a lot of really cool history there. It's right on the Bourbon Trail, so you're right in that triangle of all the distilleries, which are really fun. Yeah. I went and visited some of the distilleries. We had some of the really fun horse farms. You know how much I love horses.
Right.
And went down and saw Churchill Downs, and it was my first time to that area, and I loved it. I fell in love with it, and so I'm really excited about this project. It's gonna be fun.
That's cool. Well, and the other cool thing that I like, and I don't think this happens out in the industry very often, but you took your own time to go out and meet with a member, travel with them, dial in a property, even partner with them on it. So, I mean, that's awesome. That's the personal touch that Vodicey and that Sean Moore gives to not only, Paul, but to any of our members who have opportunities that are there that obviously take a look at and see if it's worth diving in further. So
yeah, it's really, really cool. Fun. We're trying to expand our partner program, where we go in and we partner with existing property owners that are struggling a little bit and come in and bring our expertise and some of our resources to help them get that lift that they're really looking for and or on new acquisitions. And so this is kind of the beginning phases of what we're really trying to do there. And so I'm really excited about the project. It's really fun. It's fun that it's going to be a partner program that we're diving into and really, really helping people get into this game and really operate at a high level. And so I'm excited about it. It's really fun. And so we're going through like again, all the numbers have to work, right? We're going through, we're meeting with contractors. It's a historic building. Remodels on those types of historic properties, they're two or three times what a regular remodel would be, because you got to go through all of the different hoops when it comes to restoring a historic building in an area. And so some unique challenges for sure. But if you're able to pull it off, if the numbers work, and you know, it can be really fun long term.
Cool. Good. All right. Well, let's jump into a trending topic. So the topic really is running the numbers correctly. Okay. And we talked about it a little bit before, and we know how important that is, but we actually got a email from Derek. So Derek, thank you for emailing us and this question and this, you know, kind of further inquiry on a previous podcast we did. But Derek says, remember when we evaluated that property of one of our partners, they weren't a member, but they were a partner of ours, and they came and you took the time, you took an hour, and their expectations were, I think, like $140,000 that they were going to make on this property. And so they were super excited and like, hey, what do you think? And then you dove in and went through that property for an hour and really came to the conclusion that it actually was a negative property. And so Derek is asking, hey, Sean, could you dive in a little bit further on where that person made the mistakes and maybe some of the most common mistakes that you find when people are evaluating? Because that's a big difference. And so it'd be nice, according to Derek, be nice for them to know, okay, what should I look for? What mistakes should I try to not make?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a huge, like, it's a great question from Derek. And it is a really, like, it's the very most important thing, in my opinion, when you're starting in any investing game, is really understanding the numbers. Right. There's all these tools, lots of tools, you know, SDR Insights and Airbnb or AirDNA and Rabu and B&B Calc and all these different data sources and where you can go in. And the problem with it is, and this is the most common mistake people make, and this is the mistake that this lady made, was she put in the numbers into one of these software platforms, and it was ultimately the platform that we use the most, which is AirDNA, and it spit out a number for her. And the number was based on, you know, the arbitrary comps and kind of the average nightly rate and the average occupancy in the area, and it spit out a number. The problem with the number was it was at the very top end of that market. Well, this property wasn't going to operate at the top end of the market based on proximity, what it had to offer, the way she was going to set it up. And so we had to look at it and say, okay, and you know, there's always this revenue range. Anybody that's listened to you and I have these conversations or listened to the podcast for a while or been in our world knows that I talk about a revenue range. And that range is pretty wide in most markets. And a lot of times these software tools, they will put you somewhere on that range, usually in the middle to top of that market. And it can be sometimes misleading because you're assuming you're going to make more money than you're going to make.
Or you feel like your property should be in a higher category when really the reality is it might not be.
It might not be. And most people don't even look at a range. Yeah. Most people literally are, the biggest mistake is they're coming with one revenue number. They're coming with one average nightly rate number. That's not, you have to look at the range of nightly rates in your market, right? There's going to be a range. Like we look at five different categories, 20%, 20%, 20%, 20%, right? And we segment out the market in these different price tiers. And then we have to look at it as investors and say, okay, where am I going to land on this based on my proximity, based on the experience that I'm going to create, based on how my marketing is going to be? What am I going to spend money on to be able to set myself up to operate toward the top of the market? A lot of people just assume they're going to operate at the top of the market. Right. They're not going to. In fact, it's way more common that you're going to operate in the middle to bottom of the market because they don't dial in all those necessary steps it takes to operate at the top of the market. Right. So the biggest mistake when running the numbers is first not understanding where to find those numbers.
Yeah.
I still pulled the exact same numbers and conclusions from the same software tool she used. She was using AirDNA. I use it a little different. We extract the data a little bit different and we paint a picture to look at the overall market. And then my job as an investor is to say, where am I going to land on that spectrum? And most people don't even realize there is a spectrum, right? And they like when I talk about revenue range and then I ask somebody where they're at, you know, are they operating in the top of the market, the middle of the market, the bottom market? They don't know. Those software tools don't tell you that number is at the top of the market. That number is at the bottom of the market. I've seen it where they say too low. Yeah. They don't always say too high.
Right.
And so it's really just understanding where you're going to, one, how to actually see that revenue range and how to extract the numbers. And it's not, It's not a plug and play type of a tool. You really have to take the time to extract that data, put it into your own tools and worksheets and spreadsheets. And if you, I mean, anybody can go to DataSense or our DataSense University and get that stuff for free, right? We've got all of our tools for free. So if they just go look that up, they can go onto our website and get all of that stuff for free. But what you have to do is be able to extract it, put it into your own worksheets, your tools, so that you can look at it and feel comfortable, say, where am I really going to land when it comes to the numbers? And it is a really, really common mistake, especially for new and experienced investors in the short-term rental game, because it's not how most people are taught to underwrite. Another really common mistake that a lot of people make in when they start to look at their, because that's those are gross revenue numbers, is when they try to dial in all of their expenses and all of the different things that it's going to cost, both variable and fixed expenses, because your variable expenses can be really high in the short-term rental game because management's involved, right? And so when management fees are in there and everything else, all of a sudden you're like, man, I thought I was going to make some money on this and I'm not making it. So understanding how to plug those expenses in, figure out what your net is, because at the end of the day, your bottom line is what matters. What are you putting in your pocket, right? And so I think that the it seems overly complicated. It's really not. Like, go check out our DataSense University, and it's, I mean, you can get all, I mean, we have literally, it's a platform where you can download all of our underwriting tools absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a dime, right? If you want some training on it, we've got the cheapest underwriting training that I'm aware of, $97. You can go in and get full training on how to
videos
how to extract
how to
it, how to do all that stuff. And so, you know, super, super important piece of the puzzle, and a really not just for people that are buying. One, you do need to know that when you buy. Obviously, she avoided a huge mistake because she thought she was going to make $60,000 a year and she was going to be negative $40,000 a year. If I remember, I think those numbers were are pretty close to accurate, you know, because it was a little while ago and we looked at a lot of deals. But she, it was a big negative cash flow.
And it was way off
what
she thought.
And then once I showed her and we broke it down, it made sense, right? And that's the thing. Nothing, when you're investing, it shouldn't be so complicated that you don't understand it. If you don't understand it, don't do it, right? The way that we do our underwriting is very, very simplified, right? It's very simple to do once you understand how to do it and be able to paint that picture of what you want to do. And it really is important to be able to, another big mistake is I think that a lot of investors who currently own properties have no clue where they're operating and how
they should
operating
be evaluating their own properties just like they do in acquisition mode.
How often do we talk to people that say, hey, listen, you know, Sean, I really want to learn how to do the marketing. You guys talk about an 8-to-1 return on ad spend. I want to learn how to do paid ads. And they don't even know where the numbers are. They don't even know where they're operating in the market, right? And so I'm like, okay, let's start by understanding the numbers. That's why we talk about the fundamentals so often, and we repeat ourselves over and over and over again, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
So a couple things. SDR DataSense, powered by Vodacy. Go there and you can get our worksheets and our data analytics and all our tools. And then if you want, you can also upgrade for $97, get the whole training, the work, the videos and everything step-by-step on how to extrapolate the numbers and all that kind of good stuff. So that's huge. Second, I think it's super important, and this is what we really, you know, push on our Vodacy membership group, is that having a second set of eyes on the property sure helps. And we have an acquisitions manager that reviews properties all day long, and just, you know, making sure that the numbers that you're doing and the data that you're pulling is correct, because sometimes this is new for you and you're not sure. And that's super important.
Yeah. So you're going to second guess yourself. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you have to realize when I talk about these numbers and I talk about the revenue range and I talk about where we're getting them, I've analyzed thousands of deals, right? This is almost second nature to me at this stage. It's okay that it's not if you're a new investor. Yep. It's okay if you only own one or two or three properties and you don't look at this all the time every day. That's good. That's fine. Like, give yourself a little grace. You're not supposed to be an expert at that.
Exactly.
But there are things that you can plug into. And like you said, SDR DataSense, it's just SDRDataSense.com, right?
Yep.
And we'll post it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Go check it out. You can download all of our, I see online all the time people posting their spreadsheets and everything else. I mean, that's great.
You can go
grab all of that so that you have something that you can take these tools that are really useful tools. All of those tools that I mentioned, they're really useful. They have a lot of really good information, a lot of really good data. The problem with it is they want to solve the problem, which is why they sell, right? Why people buy in. They want to solve the problem of just being able to plug an address in.
An easy button.
And it's not, that's not it. I mean, I have yet to find a software tool that's able to do that accurately across the board. Do they sometimes hit it on the head and they're right? Yes.
Right.
But you should know that after you run everything else.
Yeah. No, that's great. Good.
There is one thing that can make or break your success with short-term rentals, and that's your ability to provide your guests with an amazing night's rest. We're taking all of the guesswork out of selecting the perfect mattress system. Personally, I have these custom mattresses in every one of my short-term rentals. We love them so much that we even got them in our own personal homes here in Utah. So visit VodaceySleepSystem.com and use the promo code PODCAST. It's all caps at checkout to get 55% off.
All right, let's jump into a question. We got a question from David O. So thanks, David, for sending this in. We appreciate it. It's a little bit long-winded, but I think it's really good and super important. We've talked about this a little bit on past episodes, but he says, I have considered adding things like motorsports, snowmobiles, go-karts, e-bikes, things like that. Are there guidelines for doing so? Have members or people who own short-term rentals, have they included such items that are kept kind of under a lock and key? And if they sign a waiver, they kind of get access to that stuff. So that's the first part, e-bikes, you know, boats, go-karts, things like that. The second part is, what about alcohol or even a beer keg for a guest, you know, kind of a welcome gift? How do we kind of visualize what that looks like and if that makes sense or not?
Well, I'm going to answer the first one or the second question first.
Okay.
The alcohol question. Very common. We leave bottles of wine. We leave beer in the fridge. We leave different, depending on who the target audience is. If somebody's coming in for an anniversary or a honeymoon, we'll leave champagne for them. And so there's many, many times in our properties, we leave alcohol. You and I have a property that is really geared toward kids, families, and it's in an area in Utah that it's not that common that a lot of people are going to drink. So we don't leave alcohol there, but mostly because our target audience is a lot of kids.
We leave more popcorn and candy and snacks and waters and things like that.
So think about your target audience and who's going to be coming in. There's going to be a responsible party that books your property that is of legal drinking age. They can also say they don't want it, right? There's plenty of times where they don't have to drink the beers or whatever else you leave out. It's a nice gesture. We always also leave non-alcoholic waters and pops. And when we leave something like that, we're going to leave a variety so even if you have families, it's okay to leave the wine, the waters, the pops. And it works because most of us, on our listings, most management partners, most people on Airbnb, Vrbo, they have an age limit that you can't rent unless you're 25 or older.
Right.
And so it's not even 21, it's 25 or older. So that person who's booking the property is going to be of legal age to drink and hopefully responsible with it. We're not going to leave, you know, an open bar where there's everything else. But it is like this property I'm in, LaGrange, and we're going to have a whiskey tasting room. We're going to have a speakeasy in the basement that's got limestone walls that literally drip and they seep. It's crazy. Like it's, you know, you're like,
that's awesome.
And so you're going to go downstairs in the cellar and there's going to be a tasting room with all the local distilleries and things like that. We're going to leave that
out. But most people are going to rent that location because that's what they want.
And that's where they're coming. That's part of the experience.
Exactly.
So I think you think about that more than anything else. And then when it comes to amenities like e-bikes and, you know, golf carts, boats, motorcycles, side-by-sides, all of those different things, we have members who do all of it, all of the above. And we have others that are saying, hey, I don't know that I want to take on that liability. First, start with your insurance company. Make sure you've got the right insurance policies that allow that kind of stuff. What is very common is golf carts and e-bikes are usually covered by a lot of insurance companies. When you start going beyond that, then all of a sudden you start to get into problems with your insurance company. They're saying, I don't want a boat sitting at the dock. I don't want to do side-by-sides or motorcycles or some of those other things. If that's the case, what they typically do is they will have like a leasing company that they allow their guests to lease. And sometimes they pay for that. Yeah. And then the leasing company has their own liability waivers.
Right.
They
sign all the paperwork through that company separately. But
yeah,
it's an option available if you stay at their short-term rental.
Exactly. So it's an option, but they're not the ones actually doing it. And some of them actually set up a separate company and own the leasing company. Start with you definitely, when you have those different things, your liability goes up, right? Things can happen with those types of things. So you have to make sure your insurance policies are in place. You've got the right liability waivers. You've talked to your attorney. You've talked to your insurance provider. And so when you start to run down that road, it's having more conversations on the front end of saying, hey, here's what I want to do here. This is going to be part of my experience. I need to make sure that I cross the T's, dot the I's, and check all those boxes so that I limit my and it, my liability and my risk exposure, like I'm not so exposed to being able to lawsuits, everything else. So it's going to be maybe different entities set up, going to be different liability protection. I forgot who it was. David, you said, that asked the question. Yeah. David said, should we lock them up? Absolutely. Sometimes you have a locked garage that doesn't have access to that garage until you make sure that all of those liability waivers are signed. And they say only so-and-so is going to be driving them or doing it. But it's really common with beyond the e-bikes and the golf carts, it's really common to work with leasing companies in the area. Right.
Local companies that do that, specialize in that.
And that's what they do.
Right.
And then you're kind of passing that off to them without really reducing the experience, and you're not taking that liability on. You give them a local business some business, and your guests have a great experience, and everybody wins. So, you know, I would say that's the most common way to do it. But we have members in our Bodicea family that they have boats at their dock, and they do it themselves. And you're just making sure that you're talking to your lawyers, your insurance agents, and making sure that everybody is happy with reducing your risk as much as humanly possible.
Well, all right, buddy. That's great. Great episode today. Looking forward to this new studio. And
first episode, new studio. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it looks good on camera, huh?
We'll see how it goes.
See how the audio. That's Tyler's job. Tyler gets to put all that together for us and make sure that we look good, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Well, listen, we'll wrap this one up. We always appreciate you spending your time with us. We know how valuable it is. At the end of every episode, I always ask you two favors. The first one is, if you like this show or you know anybody else who would like it, who's getting into the short-term rental game and wants to walk into it with their eyes wide open and would love these types of conversations, share the show. Those things really do help us. If you've got more than 30 seconds, like it, review us, give us a thumbs up on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And then the final thing and the most important thing that I always ask you at the end of every episode is go pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, brother.
Cheers, buddy.